Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. We've got the OG crew back in the house. I am your host, Doug Eddy. I'm here with my co-host, Tyler Gunther and Tim Keller. It's been a little bit since the three of us have been on a single show together. I've been off the last couple of weeks. I've been a busy man. Tyler's been on and off with work. Tim's been on and off. He's been camping. But you know what? Voltron has been officially formed once again. Tim, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. If anybody hears some background noise, my wife and some family friends are here kind of celebrating the 4th of July early, and I think she's upstairs drunk singing some karaoke, but I'm doing fantastic. I'm glad to have you guys back. Doug, I've tried to sit in your seat for the past 2 weeks and be a host, and we just squeaked by. So
you've
it's so
a,
good to
you
have
know,
you back.
I went back and listened, and you did an awesome job. So props to you.
I'm so happy you're back, man.
Now, Tyler, he still needs to step it up a little bit. Tyler. Can you step it up this week for me?
Probably not. I'm still in summer mode.
All right. That's fine. He's still in summer mode. Well, I just want to let everyone know that this week's episode is brought to you by Trophy Smack. So you heard the intro at the beginning of the pod. Make sure you check out TrophySmack.com. Use code DHHRING and get yourself that free fantasy football ring. Also, we've got the code that everyone's been asking for. We finally have it. The Fantasy Footballers UltimateDraftKit.com. You can use code DHH10. When you do that, then it will let you download the app on either the Google Play Store or iTunes. The app is super duper slick. Tyler, you've messed around with it a little bit, so tell us a little bit about the app that the footballers have this year with their draft kit.
Let me give you a little run through. I'm gonna click it right now. I just clicked Ultimate Draft Kit. It gives you the updates right away. Who they updated in ranks? Are they up? Are they down? I'm going to go to analysis. You can go sleepers, breakouts, bust, values, coaching changes, rookie reports, free agency review, injury report. Now I'm going to click on this little research button on the bottom. Reception, perception. All of Matt Harmon's reception perceptions are on this app. Target share, market share, NFL draft, red zone report, strength of schedule, and bye weeks. Plus, their rankings, always updated like I told you. And they're tiered, which is fantastic.
I do like tiered rankings.
They give quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, flex, DST, and kickers. Yes, they go the extra mile and get you those DST and kickers. This app is amazing. I mean, I could go, I'm going to click on Saquon Barkley. It gives the ballers rankings with their little heads on top. It gives the 2019 projections with the 2018 stats, a video breakdown, and player notes. This app has everything you need.
And Next level.
Like, honestly, we have always wanted an app right on our phone, very, very clean, easy to use, and it's simple. Like, you can bring it to the draft. You don't even need to print out a piece of paper. It's right on your phone. It's amazing. Words cannot explain this app and the work they put into it, but it is outstanding.
Oh, thank you, Tyler. Yeah, I gotta check that out soon. But yeah, everything that you said, you know, you were talking about it earlier, and I was like, man, this is good. So we finally got that code. Over to ultimatedraftkit.com, use code DHH10, and then you can download that app, like I said, on the Google Play Store or iTunes if you're one of those iPhone users. That's a whole nother debate. So this week, we've got some cool stuff going on. We're going to talk a little bit of news. It's been a very, very slow week. It's pretty much NBA free agency week. So NFL news, you know, the little mini camps that they had have wrapped up. We've got training camp that'll be starting in a few weeks, so we'll start to ramp up a little bit. We've got a little bit of news, and then we have a special episode. First time, it's the Genie in a Bottle episode. So it's going to be three wishes from each of us for the 2019 fantasy football season. So that'll be a fun little change of pace that we haven't done before. So let's get into the news. And I've got some breaking news. I finally got my Scott Fishbowl invite. I was super stoked. I was sweating it for a little bit. I was like, oh man, Tim and Tyler got theirs in the first run. Like, am I going to get in this year? I got in. I'm in the TIFA division. I got the 101. We're going to be talking Scott Fishbowl strategy next week on the podcast. But I just want to give a shout out to MyFantasyLeague.com, which also hosts all the Scott Fish Bowls and makes it possible. So shout out to them. Much more Scott Fish news coming up in the next week or so. We got that draft starting on July 11th. So something to look forward to there as we go through and tell you who we picked and why. It's going to be a lot of fun. So,
and the Pod-a-thon. Doug,
yeah, that's
and I,
right.
Well, I'll be on at 2:30.
I'll try.
Hopefully Doug will be awake, but I am going to push through. And that is next Sunday night, I think. Next Sunday night is when the Pod-a-thon starts, mm-hmm. and it goes into Monday when the draft starts. So that is going to be fun.
Yeah, I'll try and set an alarm and wake up and join you for that, because it was a lot of fun last year. I was luckily enough to be on with Scott for a little while, so that was a lot of fun. So let's get into some news. Tyler, this is going to make you all sorts of pants excited. Dante Moncrief season has started. There's been a lot of chatter about Moncrief this week. The first thing that we heard, you know, out of the little mini camps that they had was that he's built a really strong rapport with Ben Roethlisberger. And now we're hearing that he's learning the offense very, very quickly. So he seems to be primed to be the wide receiver two in Pittsburgh. Tyler, are you buying into Dante Moncrief? Is this is the year that we see the Moncrief breakout?
So I want to say yes.
I know you do.
I know it's been, what, this is the fifth year,
yep.
or so we've been through this. I would love to see him in a Martavis Bryant role, which I have not seen out of Moncrief
so
since his rookie year. Well, no. His rookie year with the Colts, you saw a big play guy, a guy that would run down the field. I mean, the dude's got four wheels. And the Colts used him that way the first year he was with them. And then you saw him be more of a possession receiver and kind of take that route with the Colts. I want to see him as that big play guy again, a guy that can go over the top and score a 40, 50, 60-yard touchdown, because he's got that ability. I want to see that, and I want to see him use like Martavis Bryant. He's an athletically gifted receiver, and I want to see him in that role, because I still like James Washington, and I would like to see him on the other side and just keep Juju in the slot and just have James Washington on the other side. Maybe he's a Martavis Bryant role, and then Moncrief is the poor man's Antonio Bryant type role. Who knows? But, like, yeah, very yes. poor man. But I just – Juju's going to get the targets, and then up next it'd be nice to see Moncrief get the splash plays. And if he does, he could be a viable wide receiver four on your team, where you can plug and play if you need him, if there's an injury or a bye week. So, I mean, I think if you can get Moncrief still cheap, I doubt you can. I'm pretty sure he's probably sneaking into the late second-round range.
His ADP is creeping up in startups for sure.
Yep. And, I mean, for people like Doug and I who have believed in Moncrief for the longest time, mm-hmm. this is good news. And I got a lot of Moncrief on rosters, and I'm very happy to hear the news. There's still a lot of skepticism in my mind about him because of the past, but I really hope it happens.
Tim, any thoughts on Sidney Moncrief?
On Sidney, no. But Dante, I've actually acquired him over this offseason in a couple spots. Like you guys said, I got him as soon as he moved to Pittsburgh, trying to acquire him for as little as possible.
What'd you pay?
Just for the simple fact that, you know, this last season, people just kind of forgot about him down there in Jacksonville. So, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is obviously going to be missing some of his top targets there in Pittsburgh. And Dante, the savvy veteran that he is, can come in there. And we know that Juju has that wonderful chemistry with Ben already. But Dante can use his time in the league to kind of get on Ben's good side and hopefully siphon off some targets himself. And I like the news I'm hearing. I like the fact that he and Ben seem to be getting along. We know that Ben has a bit of an issue going out there and putting receivers on blast on the local radio. So hopefully Moncrief is doing what he can to stay on Ben's good side, and that should lead to good things on the field.
Absolutely. So we're going to stick in the AFC North for this piece of news. So Giovanni Bernard this week was quoted saying that players are buying into Zach Taylor's playbook. So, which is good, because I think the Bengals are one of those offenses that you can kind of harbor some cheap production out of, outside of Joe Mixon. He's at the end of round one, early round two in startups lately, now that we've seen Todd Gurley slide by him, which is just crazy. But, I mean, I think there's value to be gleaned in this Bengals offense. So, Tim, in a Zach Taylor offense, which we don't necessarily know exactly what it's going to look like, but give me a player or two that you can acquire at a nice cost that could see the biggest benefit of a new offensive scheme in Cincinnati.
I mean, we'll start at the top. I mean, in any mock I've done recently, any startup I've done in the past couple months, AJ Green, I get it. He's
killer value right now.
I mean, he's been in the league for what? It's 8 years now. This will be his eighth year. But yeah, his value, he's sometimes falling into the middle of the third round in drafts. And I'll scoop up AJ Green there. This guy, despite the fact he still has Andy Dalton throwing to him, AJ Green produces.
Well, you watch it.
Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd, for some reason, continues to go up. His stock price continues to go up. If you're asking me for value, John Ross, just 2 years ago, you know, people were all over him. He was a first round pick in the 2017 draft. Everybody absolutely loved him. He was going early in rookie drafts. And then, I mean, he played a handful of snaps last year.
Scored a bunch of touchdowns.
Yeah.
All from like 3 yards out, ironically.
I would try to go out there and buy John Ross. Tyler Eifert, they say he's healthy. I don't necessarily trust it personally. I'm looking at CJ Uzama.
Well, I say I'm 28 years old, but I'm not. So
that's true. You can say what you want. The reality is a different story, though. But yeah, I think CJ Uzama is a guy you're getting for pennies. And if something happens to Tyler Eifert again, we're going to see a spike in CJ's production as well.
Tyler, what say you on the Cincinnati offense? Who are you looking at?
I will give you a sample.
Oh, are you going to draw it? Are you going to draw the sample, or is it already going to be the past tense of draw?
Drew yes. Sample? That was a rough one. We got through it, though.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, he's a second-round draft pick, and it seems like people are just like, who's this guy? Like,
he's free.
You look at his profile, and, I mean, in college, he had some boom moments, but I mean, he's got a good profile. He's got the Jason Witten style profile. He could be a very good just 6-for-70 type tight end, a guy in the middle. I mean, they spent huge draft capital, but then again, your mind reverts back to Zach Taylor's the person who's running this offense, and look what they did with the Rams. They had two high profile tight ends that they hardly touched. That could be an issue. But if I'm going to go for somebody, I'm going to give you another name other than John Ross. Alex Erickson, who is a guy, just a typical protocol slot receiver, skin pigmentation of what you would think of a slot receiver. I mean, he's a lunch pail guy, a guy that's first one in, last one out.
Potential gym rat.
Yes.
Whoa, I didn't say that, Doug. You said that.
I know, I said it. It's fine. Come at me, bro. I don't care.
No, he's one of those guys, and it seems like he's been on the radar for about 3 years now. And another guy is Cody Kaur, who seems to have some splash plays. But other than that, like, I saw AJ Green go for a 2021st straight up. And if you're competing and you can win, that's a deal that you should make. I know the 2020 class looks nice, but AJ Green, I mean, he could have a monster season. He seems healthy. I like Tyler Boyd as much as anybody, but I could see the AJ Green possibly being the Robert Woods, and then Brandon Cooks being the John Ross, and then Cooper Kupp being Tyler Boyd. I could see that scenario.
Okay.
I mean, that I could see that being split up. I mean, you look at Cooper Kupp and Tyler Boyd, their profiles
Joe Mixon being the Darrell Henderson.
Haha, good one. No, the Todd Gurley is what you're looking for.
Who's that again? I've never heard of him.
Oh, he's that player that died.
Yeah, the one knee Todd.
R.I.P.
Yeah, and also look for the rookie running back. See who wins out in the competition.
I was just going to bring them up. Williams. I think Gio's on his last year of his contract, so maybe not for this year, but if you could get either one of them or both of them on like the cheap, go ahead and do it, because if next year they don't add anybody else to the backfield and something were to happen to Mr. Mixon, one of these two guys, if not both, are going to probably be fantasy viable.
But yeah,
and Travion Williams isn't even getting drafted in some rookie drafts.
No.
And Rodney Anderson, I mean, you could have got him in the late third, early fourth. And Anderson was a fringe first rounder for me before the draft happened, just based on talent alone. So, absolutely. So we got some other running back news. It's out of the Big Apple. It's not the Jets. They're okay. Although there was some Ty Montgomery buzz, so I smirked for a minute and then got sick to my stomach because I really liked Ty Montgomery once.
Can we pour one out for New York fans in general? Like, the NBA free agency just happened and they literally landed.
Hey, they got Julius Randle.
Ooh. But yeah, I mean,
they didn't want to commit to Kevin Durant as Achilles, but you know, whatever.
I mean, it could be smart, but yeah, this is an NBA podcast, but
they don't make smart moves.
Man, New York, like, be better. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the
probably.
Oh yeah. They're up 11 on the Red Sox. I don't want to talk about it. So let's talk a little New York Giants backfield. So we all know that Saquon Barkley is the bee's knees, if you will, but his backup, you know, if you look at the roster, you know, it sounded like it was going to be Wayne Gallman, who has his small pod of fans and then some people that don't like him, like Tyler. He's supposedly struggled with some fumbles in the offseason, and it looks as of right now that, remember this guy, Paul Perkins, is going to be the number two running back as of right now behind Saquon Barkley. Perkins didn't play at all last year. I actually thought they released him at some point. He's still on their roster. I know they signed Rod Smith, the former Cowboys backup, to that backfield as well. But Paul Perkins, now here's a guy, when you talk about not getting drafted at all in startups, like, no one's even looking at Paul Perkins. But if he gets the number two job, like, here's a guy that if you have waivers that are going to run this week and you've got deep rosters, and Paul Perkins is probably available in most of your leagues, what's it going to hurt you to pick him up? Because if Saquon Barkley goes down, Perkins could touch the ball a handful of times, maybe 15 times a game. I don't know. I'm just saying. It could be a sneaky pickup.
I have to give a good comp for this. Here where I live, Perkins closed down.
Not everybody knows what a Perkins is, Tyler.
So
it's a family restaurant.
One of them just opened back up. Oh. Literally, it seems like the week before this news came out. So, like, that's all I can think of is, like, Perkins is back. All
right. Do you think that Paul Perkins may be, like, a franchise owner?
Yeah,
maybe.
He's an investor.
Maybe. Perkins is back, everybody.
That way he can say, like, Perkins is going to eat.
Oh.
Terrible.
I was a Paul Perkins truther when he was coming out in the draft out of UCLA. And Doug, you're right. They actually waived him last year for a non-football injury for a bit.
Okay. All right. So I wasn't insane. That's good.
Yeah, so they didn't
pick
him
back
up.
They waved to him.
Yeah.
Hi, Paul.
He was coming in. You know, he parks, was walking through the door, and somebody waved to him. He goes, oh, I guess I'm fired.
That's New York media for you.
But, yeah, I thought Paul Perkins was a shifty back, an elusive back. Obviously, he's not Saquon Barkley. He's not, I wouldn't even say he's a top 40-ish back in the league. But obviously, if a team loses their number one and
Opportunity.
Perkins is the two. He's going to see the workload. He's going to become at least a flex option for you on fantasy teams.
Yeah. So, yeah, pick up Paul Perkins in those leagues that he might be hanging around. It's completely possible. So let's stay in the state of New York, but let's get in a bus and drive up to Niagara Falls. And we're going up to Buffalo, the frozen tundra, the beautiful stadium. It's not. The Buffalo Bills playing. So LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, Devin Singletary, all splitting first team reps. Tyler, what does this mean? What can we expect out of Buffalo this year?
I mean, I don't know.
Exactly.
But they're all really well priced. Like McCoy has dropping off the face of the earth.
Get him dirt cheap.
You could probably get him for a third rounder in this rookie draft easily. And and Singletary, I don't know what to think of him. He's tiny. He's 5'7". Like he's small. Like Danelle Pumphrey probably is like, hey, dude, I'm towering over you.
I was just going to say, is he going to be like Danelle Pumphrey 2.0 or what?
But he's thicker than Pumphrey. I mean, Pumphrey was what, 98 pounds or so?
Soaking wet, I believe, yeah.
Give or take.
Fresh out of the tub.
But I mean, I like Yeldon, but I think he needs touches to be productive. That's the thing with Yeldon. I think he needs to get 15 touches a game to actually be fantasy relevant. And Frank Gore, I mean, what is he going to play? Like, is he just like a moral support guy now for that backfield?
Someone tweeted out this week that Frank Gore is going to hang around in the league until his son gets in the NFL, and then they can play a game together.
Yeah,
because his son's, I think, maybe a sophomore in college.
Yeah, Griffey Jr. Yeah.
I'm
probably just avoiding it altogether. And to be honest with you, that whole offense, I mean, we all love Dawson Knox here.
But, yeah, buddy.
I mean, Robert Foster, John Brown.
Zay Jones.
Cole Beasley.
Who in the world is going to get the production? Like, so maybe John Brown gets – John Brown's going to have a game where he has probably three touchdowns and 200-some yards receiving. And then the other games he has like 20 yards and
is the
one
answer
catch.
Just invest in Josh Allen and forget all the ancillary pieces?
I would say yes, which is probably the best approach. I don't think Josh Allen is bad. I still think he needs years to grow and mature. I think he is a very talented player, but he's a guy that definitely needs a little more seasoning and maybe a better offense around him.
Well, here's just a quick thing for Josh Allen. Is last year when Robert Foster started to take off, it's because they put him on the outside to move Zay into the slot, which Zay dipped off, Robert Foster took off. But then this year with Cole Beasley, obviously he's going to man the slot, so that pushes Zay back to the outside. Robert can play the outside. And John Brown, we all know that he's a speedy and outside type guy too. Between Zay, Robert, and John, I mean, these are all sub-4.4 type guys.
I don't know why they signed Beasley. They didn't need him.
No, but they didn't. They didn't. Weird. But you're now playing to your quarterback's strength. I mean, he's got the big arm. You got these deep threat type players. Mm-hmm. That's a plus sign for me for Josh Allen.
Yeah, and Allen was the QB1 over the last 6 weeks, I believe, last year in fantasy. So if he can repeat that, I don't think he's going to rush quite as much because it was kind of a freakish amount that he was rushing. I don't think he's going to rush quite as much because they did make some improvements on that offensive line in the offseason. Yes, so I don't think he's going to have to kind of tuck and run just out of panic. And plus, he's going to know the playbook better. So he'll be able to make better decisions, hopefully, with a year under his belt. So the last bit of news here, just your deep, deep stash of the day. I read a news blurb about Ishmael Hyman. That's H-Y-M-A-N. Hyman. Whatever. There was a Browns beat reporter that projected him to make the Browns 53-man roster. Now, this man is a wide receiver, and he played in the AAF. I'm not saying I have any kind of take on this player, but if there's rumors of a guy making a 53, again, much like a deep dynasty stash like we talked about earlier with Paul Perkins or some of the guys on the Bengals, like why not add this guy to the end of your roster if you have room? Maybe he hits. Maybe he becomes something. He's a smaller, faster type of player. Tim, do you know anything about my boy Ishmael?
James Madison was the college he went to. He played for the Orlando or Apollos in the AAF. He went 4 for 60 with 0 scores in the AAF on 8 targets. So he played 8 weeks, saw 8 passes his way, caught 4 of them for 60 yards. The Apollos had him listed at 5'11", 194. Did some simple math here. He went for 14.5 air yards per target. So, yeah, you can say he's a bit of a downfield guy, but that's not the big-time downfield number you'd want to see. And then as far as, like, after-the-catch type stuff, 8.75 on yards after the catch. So he's not, like, give it to him short and let him break one, you know, for the long game. But I think his game's going to be that outside, try to, you know, get past blown coverage and let the quarterback chuck it. But I think they have Antonio Callaway for that right now.
They do. So absolutely. Just a name to keep an eye on. The positive reports, they really liked what they saw in him. They said he worked hard. He was one of the offseason winners. So that kind of, like, you know, got my arm hair a little prickly for a second there. So I was like, maybe I'll give him a shot. You never know. Sometimes you pick up guys like that and they hit, and sometimes you just dump them and move on. No regrets, as they say. So are you boys ready to rub me the right way?
Always ready to rub you, Doug.
Are you ready to stroke my lamp, if you will?
That's a hard pass.
You're just a genie in a bottle, Doug. What can I say?
Only if there's a piece of hard candy like you promised.
Can we talk about genie in a bottle? That was like probably close to peak Christina Aguilera, I believe.
That was like her first song.
Wasn't that her first single? Yeah. She was like 16? Creep.
All right, I'm going to move on. I forgot she was that young, and now I feel terrible. Yeah. Don't report me, please.
She should go for the Xtina years. What the hell?
Wow.
I'll tell you guys, I actually have a real-life Christina Aguilera story I'll tell you off-air. Or maybe I'll save it for the Patreon. So if you want to hear this Christina Aguilera story on how she's somewhat 6 degrees to Doug Eddy, then you can tune into the Patreon pod. That'll be posted, and I'll tell you my Christina Aguilera story. It's not anything seedy, I wish, but it's not. All right, so we're going to do a little genie in a bottle here. So we've got 3 wishes, each one of us, and if we have time, maybe we get a bonus 4th wish because this is a different lamp than what we've seen before. So the premise is we all have 3 wishes, the 3 things that we wish for in the 2019 fantasy football season. Tim, I'm going to start with you.
Perfect.
Rub it.
That's pretty creepy, Doug. I will rub it, though. My first wish is for the Oakland Raiders offense to find stability. We saw Derek Carr a few years ago play at an MVP-type level. We're hearing multiple good reports about tight end Darren Waller. Obviously, everybody knows this is where Antonio Brown landed. Tyrell Williams is there. They drafted Hunter Renfro, who obviously could play the slot for them. All he does is catch passes in big-time games. They have Josh Jacobs there at running back. There's still some names behind him in Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington that people still like, maybe if you squint hard enough, they're okay. But I just want this Raiders team to surprise people. They've attempted everything they possibly could, I think, to try to solidify the offensive line, up to and including going out and signing Richie Incognito. So if he can keep his head on straight, he should be a decent guard for them. But I think the Raiders could be a fun team. And obviously with Hard Knocks doing the Raiders this year, I think this is naturally going to happen, that people will start to invest themselves a little bit more in the Oakland Raiders. But with them moving to Vegas, with the Raiders brand, it's easy for them to find primetime TV. I think this could be a fun team. So I want the Oakland Raiders offense to find stability. And John Gruden, you know, multiple shots of him on the sideline with his mad face, depending on what's going on in the game. But I like Derek Carr. I want to see him get back to maybe not the MVP level, but somewhere close. I want to see Antonio Brown at least somewhat succeed to prove that he's that quality of receiver and it wasn't all just Ben Roethlisberger. And let's remember, he's never caught a touchdown from any other quarterback other than Ben Roethlisberger in the NFL. So the first time he and Derek Carr hook up will be the first touchdown he's ever caught from anybody else. So that's going to be interesting to see. But that's my first wish.
All right, I'm gonna go with mine. So I'm rubbing this lamp, and I'm thinking deep, and I'm thinking hard. And my wish is, I wish Aaron Jones, Dante Pettis, and David Njoku all break out in 2019.
But by breakout, I want you to explain at their respectable positions.
Yes.
Where you'd like them to be.
Aaron Jones, RB1 on the season.
Like,
that's a breakout to me.
RB1?
No. Like a top 12 running back. Not the RB1. Jesus, man. I'm not that crazy. But Aaron, so
the genie would just look
like
at you.
I don't know if I can do that, Doug.
Can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I can make a lot of things happen, but that
not that. So Aaron Jones as a top 12 running back, Dante Pettis as a top 24 wide receiver, and David Njoku as a top 5 tight end. Now, with Aaron Jones, I think he has the clearest path to success out of these three guys. They just said this week that they want to get their running backs more involved in the passing game. So to me, that's pretty much saying that we want to throw the ball more to Aaron Jones because, you know, Jamal Williams, he's kind of a guy. Dexter Williams is intriguing. You know, some fantasy analysts have been pumping up Dexter Williams. I got a ride for my guy Aaron Jones. He's the most complete back. Supposedly he's shredded and he dropped his body fat, which I don't know is necessarily a good thing. But anyway, but in that scheme, Aaron Rodgers healthy. They've got, you know, a lot of these receivers in the second year in the offense. They've got Jay Sternberger to kind of stretch the middle of the field. So Aaron Jones is going to have a lot of space. And you give him one cut. He's kind of like a ghetto version of Dalvin Cook in a lot of ways. He's not as big and as physical as Cook, but they have similar running styles with the way that they one cut and they can avoid tacklers. And Aaron Jones has really, really good hands. So, you know, I wish that Aaron Jones can put together a 1,500-yard season from scrimmage and double-digit touchdowns and finishes that RB1 for me this year. And I think out of these three guys, I think he has the clearest path to achieve this. Now, when we talk about Dante Pettis, the biggest question in the San Francisco offense is who's going to be the guy. They drafted Deebo Samuel. They drafted Jalen Hurd. They have Marquise Goodwin, who loves to pose with exotic animals, cheetahs and tigers. So that intrigues me a little bit. I mean, he has the balls to sit there next to a tiger and get his picture taken, and the tiger doesn't eat his face.
Dude jumped off an elephant's back to catch a football. Like,
you gotta give some respect for Goodwin. And then they have all the running backs. So they've got Tevin Coleman, Jerick McKinnon, Matt Breida. There's just a lot. They got George Kittle. There's just a lot going on there. I think Dante Pettis is the best receiver on the roster. Last year with Nick Mullins over the back half of the season, Pettis was a pretty reliable fringe wide receiver 2 and 3. And he had some wide receiver 1 weeks. When you talk about hands, route running, speed, and the whole combined package, paired with a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo, I think Dante Pettis could finish as a rock solid wide receiver 2 this year. And I think that, you know, now that they drafted Deebo Samuel, some people, Pettis's stock has gone down a little bit. So now he went from maybe a sell because he was really high to going on that fringe buy for me. So Dante Pettis, I love that guy. And then David Njoku, I just think it's outside of the top 3 tight ends. I mean, there's room for a lot of these guys to finish as a top 5. Now, the biggest thing with Njoku is there's all these targets in Cleveland. They've got Chubb. They've got Duke Johnson, Kareem Hunt after week 8. At wide receiver, they've got Beckham Jr. You know, Tim mentioned Callaway. They've got Jarvis Landry. They've got Rashad Higgins, who Mayfield likes a lot. And then they have Njoku. They got Demetrius Harris. Njoku, the only way he's going to finish as a top 5 tight end is it's going to be touchdown dependent. And he's their biggest threat in the red zone. So I think if Njoku catches 8 touchdowns and maybe has 600 yards, that could be a top 5 tight end finish. And I'm going to give you a hot take while we're talking about the 49ers. I don't think George Kittle is going to finish as a top 5 tight end this year.
Save it for the hot take episode, which is coming in July.
But I'm just sprinkling it out there right now. And I love George Kittle not more than anybody, but I was a very early George Kittle adopter. I don't think he's going to finish as a top 5 tight end this year. So I'm just going to put that out there. But that's my wish. I want all of these guys to break out, and that's where I slot them as a breakout performer. So, Tyler, what does your genie say to you?
Let's stick with the tight ends, and I'm going to be for the people on this one. I just want more tight ends in fantasy football, more reliable tight ends in fantasy football. I want O.J. Howard to become a very reliable tight end. I would like Eric Ebron to become more reliable than what he was. I would love for, say, TJ Hockenson to become a reliable tight end.
What about Evan Ingram?
Let's put Evan Ingram, when Odell Beckham was out, he was very reliable. Yes. So, and Noah Fant, hopefully he comes in and becomes reliable. Let's get more than three tight ends where the scarcity isn't that bad. I want to be able to go into a draft in 2020 and be like, oh, there's like eight solid tight ends. I don't need to pressure myself into drafting one in the second round so I don't get stuck with three that I need a roster and kind of swap in and out. I mean, Mark Andrews, I want him to become a top five tight end. I love Mark Andrews, and I think he has the ability to do that. I want him to become reliable. I mean, Kyle Rudolph or Irv Smith, please stand up. Let somebody be reliable there. There's so many tight ends. Trey Burton, come back to us. I just want more tight ends in fantasy football. So I'm doing this one for the people. My wish is to have more tight ends where we can draft and be like, boom, I got one tight end. I can feel comfortable with this guy every week. I don't need to panic that I'm going against a Kelce, Ertz, or Kittle. I don't need to panic that I'm going against them because I still have somebody who's reliable and can get me more than 7 points a week.
Did you see the pictures of Rob Gronkowski at the red carpet premiere of Julian Edelman's Showtime thing?
He looks like
you. Yeah, I don't think he's coming back. I think he's safe to drop off your roster. There's no way that that man built like that is going to play NFL football in 2 months.
If I had to guess, he's probably 220 right now.
Yeah, very slim.
Yeah, he's a couple inches taller than I am, so that would make him like 10 pounds less than me, 7-10 pounds less than me. Yeah, I think that's probably spot on. I think he's 220. He's definitely, you can tell, like, the bulky muscle is just like,
yeah, his shoulders aren't wide anymore. They're slim.
And his head looks bigger. I know how that feels. So I have a very large noggin, if you will. So Tim, let's get back to you for your second wish.
My second wish. And you guys, very good stuff for the tight ends, but I'm moving over to running back. And that's Mr. Kerryon Johnson. I want the Detroit Lions to use their best running back and just unleash Kerryon Johnson and let him go.
Woo.
5.4 yards per carry last year, won 118 rushes. LeGarrette Blount led the team on rush attempts. I want to see Kerryon lead this team with, you know, like 200, 225 rush attempts. 32 receptions last year, which isn't a huge number, but let's get that closer to 50. And Kerryon last year, 82% catch rate when he was targeted. Start targeting Kerryon Johnson. He can play two ways out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles with success. He can catch the ball. I want Kerryon Johnson to be a stud, a workhorse type back. I think he has the pedigree and the ability to do it. They just need to, you know, the Lions just need to buckle down and let it go. Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator this year for the Lions, has said they're going to be a running team. We all know Daryl Bevel and how things worked out for him in Seattle. They were a very run-heavy team. I think he's going to bring a lot of that same mindset over here to Detroit. They want to just physically dominate their opponents, chew up the clock, and then if they have to go out there and win it, they still have Stafford there who can sling that ball around like nobody's business. But I think Kerryon Johnson, if they give him, you know, 300 touches, he's just going to be a monster. And I think he can handle it. Let's see it. Just unleash him and let's see what happens.
Unleash the beast. Let the lion out of his cage, if you will.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, I want to move on to mine. This one's a pretty matter-of-fact one, and it doesn't have anything to do with any players. I wish that all trade offers are seen, rejected with notes, or countered in a timely manner in 2019.
Hear, hear.
That's probably one of my biggest pet peeves in dynasty football. It's not so bad in redraft leagues because people are more active for a shorter period of time. But when it comes to dynasty leagues, nothing drives me crazier than when you propose a trade. You know, you let it sit there for a couple days. Maybe you message that person. They're like, oh, I'll get around to it. And you're like, I'm trying to move like players around. Like, could you be a little bit more active? A dynasty league is a year-round commitment. I think anyone that listens to this show understands that. But there are dynasty leagues out there where people aren't as committed. So it can be very frustrating when you're trying to move assets around or trying to acquire assets and trying to find somebody and talk to them is like pulling teeth. And I hate like smash rejects without notes. Like, no counters. If you can, if you don't send me a counter, reject it and leave a note like, hey, I'm all set at this time. I really like player X. I'm like, okay, that's all I'm asking for. It takes 4 seconds while you're in the bathroom to type that out while you hit reject. That's all I ask for. That way I know that I don't need to send you a counter or anything like that. I just don't like the unknown, like, oh, he rejected it. Like, what do I do now? Do I come back with more? Like, I'm trying to reach out to this guy. He doesn't get back to me. It's just very frustrating. So in 2019, I wish that all the trade offers seen, rejected with notes or countered in a timely-ass manner. That's all I ask. The genie can grant me that wish. That I do know, Tyler.
I don't mind that one bit, and I completely agree. So my next wish is now going to be selfish. I'm going to be selfish with this one. I hope Rojo gets at least 750 rushing yards. I'm gonna lower the bar in expectation, and 8 touchdowns and catches 30 balls and maybe 300 yards. Let's get him 1,000 total yards and double-digit touchdowns. Just give this young man a chance and let him get the opportunity that he deserves. Last year, things didn't go his way. I get that. He struggled, and the coaching staff just bashed him. I mean, you looked at the running back coach in his comments last year, pretty much said, oh, he doesn't know anything. He's not a good runner. He goes to the wrong hole, blah, 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 blah. He's going to get benched. Like, he destroyed Rojo. And, I mean, a kid that was 20 years old going into August and turns 21. I mean, we were all that age, and how was our ego just destroyed? It was easy to destroy an ego that young. I mean, you go
maybe for you.
Oh, cocky Doug, here we go. But, no, I mean, he just turned 22. Rojo, well, he's going to turn 22 in August.
How do you age 2 years in 1 year?
He's going to turn 22 in August. He is still super young. Reports are that he's doing very well, and I think that's what he needed. He needed a fresh start, a new coaching staff to kind of give him a little bump, a little belief. If Rojo can be a guy that gets 200 touches, I think he can make something with them. I believe that Rojo can be a RB3 on your team this year. Peyton Barber, yeah, he's all right, but is he the guy? No. Do I think that they want to see what they have in Rojo before even going into 2020 in that amazing class? Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do. So give me Rojo getting the opportunity and doing well with it. So that's my wish. I want Rojo to do well with an opportunity that he actually gets this time.
That's going to be one of the more interesting storylines to follow during the season. Absolutely. And you know what, Tyler, for you, I hope that happens. Because then it'll be a redemption, like a phoenix. You can just rise up.
I mean, that genie's got to be thinking, like, oh, God, this guy had to rub the lamp.
So and it's funny because I just saw a post about Peyton Barber and how he could be a good bridge running back for the season, and the guy pretty much throwing Rojo off to the side. And I, like Nick Whalen said, like, give me all the Rojo for free. Like, Rojo's dirt cheap. He's super young still. He's younger than a lot of running backs coming in this year. And I mean, you can get him for what people were drafting him at 104. You can get him for a late second probably. And I'd probably do that, because who are you getting at a running back in the late second?
Devin Singletary?
Yeah.
And Damian, I'd rather, Harris?
Harris would be close to me, because I think I'm not a big Sony fan, but
I'm on team Damian Harris. So
I mean, if you can get Rojo for that, I'd rather have Rojo than Singletary.
Alexander
for sure.
Madison?
I mean,
going late second, early third.
I'd rather have Rojo.
Same here.
Just the talent's there.
I agree. So, Tim, you've got a third and final wish, my friend. You got to make it a good one.
Well, I have two quarterbacks left. I don't know which one I want to go with. I'll go down to Tennessee. I want Marcus Mariota to stay healthy. No more tingly finger. No more.
It sounds like issues. It sounds like a Disney character. Oh, here's my little friend, Tingly Finger.
Tingly Finger.
I was gonna say it sounds like a move Tim uses, but
Yeah. I'm gonna use a tingly finger later tonight. Anyways, gentlemen.
If she's still awake.
Yeah. But I want to see Marcus Mariota and this Tennessee Titans offense really take off, because this Titans offense, if Mariota's not healthy, they're looking at Ryan Tannehill, and I mean, we saw, I personally have seen enough of Tannehill. I've seen what I needed to see down in Miami. So I think the Titans' best option, obviously, is Marcus Mariota. But Derrick Henry, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, I absolutely love. I think Adam Humphreys was kind of unneeded, a little redundant at this point. But Delanie Walker's, you know, back. Supposedly he's healthy. He's
with
ready to go.
With his Walker.
Yeah. So I want to see Marcus Mariota come back. I want to see the Titans offense take off a little bit. Marcus's career high for pass attempts, 453. I want to see this get around 500. Yardage, 3426 is his career high. Let's get up in that 4,000 yard range there, Marcus. Let's go back to our Oregon days. Remember what made us such a big time prospect at the quarterback position, and find that rhythm. Find whatever mojo that was, and let's get around 4,000 yards. Let's get around 500 pass attempts, and let's see what these very talented receivers. I mean, there's plenty of people who still love Corey Davis like I do, and I'm absolutely enamored with A.J. Brown and his talents and his upside. I want to see both of those guys begin to take off, and that's not going to happen without Marcus Mariota being healthy and taking that step forward.
So I had a pretty wild Tennessee Titans thought. I was mowing my yard probably like 3 or 4 days ago. And that's a time where I tend to have some deep thoughts. I'll be listening to a podcast, and your thoughts will come to me. And I had this thought of, what if next year Mariota leaves as a free agent and the Titans sign Jameis Winston? Like, how fun would that be with Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, some of the pieces there? I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, that would be great for the dynasty stock of a lot of these players to take Mariota out, put Winston in. And I was like, that would be a very interesting set of circumstances that would happen.
A similar situation. I was mowing today, and I thought – And I saw something about Tyler Johnson, who is a gopher up here, a wide receiver people really like, who's with P.J. Fleck, another receiver that was with P.J. Fleck, Corey Davis. So I posted on Twitter today, and I got a lot of flack for it. It was a random thought that came to my head. Like, what if P.J. Fleck knew how to use Corey Davis to his talent and made him a star in college, but he's a good player in the NFL? Mm-hmm. What if Tyler Johnson the same way? What if Tyler Johnson is a good player in the NFL, but P.J. Fleck knows how to get the most out of him and is a great player in college? I mean, I love Tyler Johnson like everybody else, but they're similar size, similar style. It was just a random thought. That's all. I know.
So
I don't
you're
have
saying
any...
for your tweet, you got some P.J. Fleck?
Pretty much. I mean, I got some bad variants. Oh, that's bad variants. Well, there's no analytic behind it. It's just a thought I had when mowing.
That was
that's
the
all.
Same thing. That was my Jameis Winston thought. I was like, that'd be fun if he went to the Titans. That would really increase the stock of a lot of those guys.
Well, to be honest with you, like A.J. Brown, his stock could go through the roof if they draft a guy like Tua or Herbert or even Fromm, who I think is a good quarterback in his own. Yeah, he may not be as talented, but – that whole Titans.
No more Titans QBs named Jake.
Yeah, true. I think a lot of, because of the upside that people see in these Titans offensive weapons, that any big name quarterback with at least some upside is, it's kind of like hits the reset button for all of them. Mm-hmm. Their stock just shoots right back up because people begin to imagine and they have the best case scenario issue play out in their head. And that if you got them. If you got a big-time quarterback in there, even if it was Jameis Winston, that YOLO-type quarterback who's just going to whip it down the field to these boys, mm-hmm. A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, these guys can go up and make those plays for him.
And Adam Humphreys is already there, who he's got rapport with. See, boom.
Yep. Yeah. And I just want – let's not forget.
Maybe that's why the Titans brought Adam Humphreys in.
Let's not forget
to recruit Jameis Winston.
Just to recruit Jameis Winston, yeah.
Tannehill isn't a bad quarterback in his own right. Corey Davis did very well with Blaine Gabbert. Like, he had some very boom games. I'm just saying, like, I think the train on Corey Davis has been shipping off a little bit. People, I've seen him fall. Like, Tim and I have done some sleeper drafts, and I have seen Corey Davis fall, like, hard.
That's a good point. Yeah. He's a bit of a buy right now. Absolutely.
Yep.
I would agree with that. All right, so my third wish. I can't even keep track. I'm off the rails. My third and final wish is for, by the beginning of the season, the one, the only, Josh Gordon. My genie reinstates him into the NFL. He plays a 16-game season with Thomas Brady, N'Keal Harry on the other side, Julian Edelman in the slot, and Josh Gordon goes for 80, 1,212 for the Pats this year.
Wow.
Making him the player that you gave up on 75 times. Ounces. Making him the player that you gave up on 75 times to finally give you the gift of that you've had with all the patience if you still own him. Yes, Josh Gordon, that's my wish. The genie to reinstate and see Josh Gordon have an amazing comeback season, and he wins comeback player of the year in the NFL, and he keeps his head on straight from here on out and really makes something out of himself.
For the Patriots side of things, I don't want it. For the Josh Gordon side of things, that would be awesome.
I want it for
if
both.
Josh
so.
Gordon finally got his head on straight, kept his head on straight, and he put together a solid, awesome season like that, that would just be... This country loves the comeback story.
It'd be so much fun to watch.
What
too.
Greater comeback story is there than that?
Yeah,
that would be so awesome.
I wouldn't like it because I just got my first N'Keal Harry share in a home league, and I'm gonna be honest with you. Like every time I draft, when I took N'Keal Harry, I thought to myself, like, damn, they love Edelman.
Gordon's gonna
though.
Come back and ruin this.
And I'm just like, God, like when as a receiver that has been drafted, and then I just. Like Tim and I said after the combine, like N'Keal Harry was a monster at the combine. He was head and above better than anybody else. And I just keep remembering that. And I'm like, God, him with Brady for the next 16 years because Brady's never going to quit. Like, man. Like, and I keep forgetting for some reason. And I think it's the Patriots just thing in my head, like, oh man, they haven't drafted a receiver, they don't draft well, but then all of a sudden you just got to go back to that combine and just how he destroyed it.
Go back to the tape.
God, he's gonna be very good there, and I'm excited to see how he does. And I think if he's a guy that gets 850 and 7 touchdowns, I think that's a positive season for him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, especially that playbook, as hard as it is for even vets to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been working one-on-one with Brady. There was Josh Gordon was working with Brady on Instagram. So I got positive vibes from this Patriots passing game. As many as they went into the offseason, people were like, oh, question marks. But I don't know. I think it's all going to work itself out. I want to put it that way. So, Tyler, one last time, give your genie a rub, and let's see what comes out.
So I've been thinking and debating on what I want to say, and I've finally come up with one. The Ginger Jesus himself, Carson Wentz, stays healthy for a full 16 and goes on a insane run.
Oh, God. I'm touching my lamp right
insane
now.
Insane run. Goes for a Patrick Mahomes-esque season.
Damn.
With the likes of DeSean Jackson, Elshon Jeffrey for 6 games, and then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Miles Sanders catching passes out of the backfield.
Goddard.
Nelson Aguilar in the slot. You got Ertz. You got Goddard. This offense is ready to go. They drafted the Jason Peters replacement. And the best part about it is Jason Peters, if he gets hurt, boom, you have somebody there to replace him. And you have no worries because Jason Peters also coming off a major injury. So...
And guess what? It's 3rd and 1, and you just need to convert a yard. You have this guy you gave up a 6th-round pick for named Jordan Howard. He's pretty decent at that.
Bring in the
snowplow. Slam him through the line.
Yeah, and you got this elusive back, Miles Sanders. But Carson Wentz is just the sun that everything is orbiting around and has an MVP season for like 50, 54, 55 touchdowns. He keeps his interception levels down. He goes to like 11. 12, but he still doesn't throw many. Carson Wentz is back, people. That is my wish. I don't want to see him win the Super Bowl, but I want to see Carson Wentz. I want to see Carson Wentz be Carson Wentz that I have seen.
Can Carson Wentz have that season and then somehow Nick Foles come back for the playoffs?
They trade for no. He's in Jacksonville, buddy. Get over it.
I'd love for Carson to get one, but yeah.
Carson
wow.
Wentz.
I'm sorry, I didn't come up with that.
I just think Carson Wentz comes. He gets that MVP trophy he deserved 2 years ago. The MVP trophy he had in hand until he got injured. Yeah. Carson Wentz, he's 2 years removed from the ACL injury, which is about how long it takes to recover.
Yes.
That back injury, I'm not even going to mention the back injury.
Carson Wentz was sleepless in Seattle after that injury.
No.
I mean, just the back injury, I'm not even going to mention because I'm not at all worried about it. He's going to be fine from that. That's not going to reoccur. But Wentz, I'm excited to see what he does with that offense. And my favorite part about that is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
All right, so we have a slight correction on a pronunciation. It's Arthega. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Yes,
I think
thank
Mike
you.
Tyson saying Sega.
Yeah. Arcega. Yeah.
So, quick Mike Tyson meme. It was one of those, like, Mike Tyson looking at a fast car and then a box of Bisquick. It's like, hey, Mike, how fast is that car? And it's that Bisquick. It's stuff like that that absolutely destroys me. It's stupid humor that gets me the best. That bit if quick.
If you guys haven't watched Mike Tyson's Super Show, it's a cartoon.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's Mike so Tyson good. Does the voice. It is outstanding. I think they only did one
like
season.
A season or two, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't last long. But, man, it was so good. Like, I was crying during one of the episodes. Oh,
that
it's good.
Quick.
It's good to see Mike Tyson, who at one point in his life was just an absolute monster, turn into such a just he's able to be self-deprecating, funny. He laughs. He enjoys having a good time now. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to watch Mike Tyson, go back and pull up some old ESPN footage when they used to put like heavyweight fights on ESPN.
Best left hook.
I love boxing, and I love Muhammad Ali. I love, you know, these big three we have now in the heavyweight division. But Mike Tyson, for me, his speed, his power, and his combinations he threw were just disgusting. His head work, his head movement, his footwork. This guy put himself in position to just destroy people, and that's all he did. And he loved it.
He literally had the best left hook.
Like we've almost come full circle because we're talking about Mike Tyson. We talked about Scott Fishbowl at the top. It's a video game theme. Mike Tyson's punch out. Like we came full circle. It's time to shut it down, boys. We are done for the night. That's been our Genie in a Bottle episode. Shout out to Christina Aguilera. Make sure you check out the Patreon podcast, and I'll tell you my little story about my connection with her. Not a physical one, unfortunately.
Xtina, what up?
Xtina, what it do? So that's going to do it this week for Dynasty Happy Hour. Shout out to all of our sponsors this week. Trophy Smack, make sure you use code DHHRING to get that free fantasy football ring. UltimateDraftKit.com, make sure to use code DHH10 to save 10%, and then you can download that beautiful app. We've got My Fantasy League, the host of the Scott Fishbowl, the host of many of our Dynasty Leagues, and also a shout out to Jason and his crew of Jason at SitterStart, who's been partnering with Dynasty Happy Hour. Tim has his hand up. Lego.
We wanted to talk about the redraft league, didn't we, Tyler?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All right. So I have created a listener redraft league. We already have a dynasty league that has been going strong for about 3-4 years now. Three years, I think this is. But I wanted to do something a little different, and it's a redraft league. We all like redraft still, even though dynasty is our favorite. So I have two 14-team leagues I need to fill. So there's going to be four spots already filled with Tim, Justin, Doug, and myself. We will be in the Premier League. We get a little up, so you have to try to knock us down. There's two leagues. There's a Premier League, and then there's the Relegation League, where the bottom seven of the Premier League will get relegated to the Relegation League. And then the top seven of the Relegation League will actually be bumped up to the Premier League. The bottom seven of the Relegation League will actually be outed, and we will find seven new owners. unless they are one of us four. We get to stay in.
We get to stick around.
Yes, but and then we'll find seven new owners each year, and you get to have a keeper if you are in the Premier League and you're still in it. You get to have one keeper. That is the victory of being in it still. And if you're coming up and you won the championship of the relegation league, you get to choose your draft spot for the Premier League. So you get to choose if you want 1-on-1 or if you want to choose from the fifth spot. So that is our league. We're doing it on Sleeper. And all I need you to do to be in this league is to leave a review. I know what the last review is. So if you leave a review, anybody from the last review on will be in. All I'll need is a little Twitter info or a way to get a hold of you to where I can add you to the league, and you will be in.
Awesome. Thank you, Tyler. So make sure you do all those things, check all those things out, follow all of our sponsors. That's going to wrap us up this week on the Dynasty Happy Hour. We will see you next week, and hopefully you tune in for the Patreon. Make sure to go to patreon.com and search Dynasty Happy Hour. We'll see you next week. Deuces.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.